And with that, we are going to move to our open forum section. But before I do, we've got some special folks that I'd like to bring up. CEO of Remcota Companies, Josh Smaltz, is with us today. I think I saw him back there. Sir, we'd like to have you come up. Of course, thank you for your hospitality and having all of us here again for another commission meeting. Welcome, sir.
Thank you.
And I understand you have some updates for us.
Yes. Good afternoon, Madam Chair, Commissioner, Secretary Roebling. It's always nice to have you guys out here. We talk about the projects that we do in the over the winter months, in the fall. You guys come out here. Usually they're done. We still have a couple of projects that we're working through right now. The Mickelson Chapel. If you guys drove by that the last couple of days, it's coming along nicely. The chinking just got done a couple of days ago. We are putting the lights up right now. We should have that chapel ready to go by end of June. So, excuse me, middle of June. Going to be a beautiful piece to that whole campus area with the pavilion. I'm really looking forward. We got a great sales team that's going to sell it, utilize it, and for all the guests of Custer State Park to enjoy. Also, we just wrapped up a great renovation up at the historic Game Lodge. We renovated the six historic rooms that were up there. We took them down to the lath and plaster. We didn't change the structure of the rooms, the layout, but we just did very nice finishes, upgrades, amenities in those rooms. We named them all after prominent people in South Dakota, whether it was Calvin Coolidge, who stayed at the Game Lodge for the summer White House, Dwight Eisenhower, Mary Shields Pyle, which I believe, Madam Chair, you wrote a paper on when in high school. Did I understand that correctly?
A short video for PBS.
Okay, great. Okay. Grace Coolidge and Peter Norbeck and the expedition rooms. The rooms are very unique. They are all individually designed, different finishes. So the people that come to Custer State Park could have a different experience in all of those rooms. They come back six different times and have a different experience. So very excited about that. The last project that we have going on right now is the over by the pavilion. We are doing a storage addition, much needed. That pavilion is well used by our wedding clients and even some corporate customers too. That will give us the ability to store all of our tables, chairs, everything that we need to operate. And it will eliminate a lot of traffic safety concerns that we have with hauling trailers, pickup loads of tables, chairs onto the highway, onto the walking path. It's going to serve our operation a lot better, and it will be safer for all the guests that are coming into the park too. So, again, it's nice to see these projects wrap up and you guys get to a chance to see them and see what you guys approve in the fall. And with that, I'll open it up for any questions, comments.
Very good. Any questions, comments for Josh? Travis.
I'd just like to say we've got a chance to see many of those rooms and they did turn out very awesome. So
Thank you. Well done. Thank you.
Commissioner White.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Josh, just a quick question.
Yeah.
How far in advance can people typically reserve? So if they wanted to get married at the chapel and it's just about done, how far in advance are we seeing folks get...
Do we allow them or generally the booking window?
The booking window, yeah.
Usually for like weddings, they're a year out, sometimes 18 months to 2 years. If we wanted to book a wedding 5 years out, we would allow that booking to happen, too. So okay. We don't put a limit on it.
Okay, very good. Excellent. Yeah. Thank you. Any other comments, questions from the commission? Secretary Roebling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to say a real quick thank you to all of your staff, Josh, and you yourself. The park looks great. We are geared up and ready for another fantastic season. We're excited about it. The workforce is excited about it. We have a great team, a great team environment out here, and we're just looking forward to keeping that going. So thank you, Josh. Let's have a great season.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. And great partnership between Remcota Companies and the Game, Fish, and Parks, and we're very honored to be here.
So, thank you, Josh.
Thank you.
And with that, we'll continue with our open forum. I know we've got several special guests that are going to be with us to speak again. 3 minutes. Mr. Michaels, will you be keeping time again for this portion of the meeting? If so, I'll let you go ahead and explain the details.
I will, yes, Madam Chair. As a reminder to our public, similar to public hearing portion of this meeting, please begin by stating your name before addressing the commission, as we are making a record, and you are limited to 3 minutes. I will be keeping track and will let you know if and when you've hit that point, at which time you need to wrap up your comments. We'll hear first from Todd Craig. Is Todd present? Not online either. Okay, moving on, Nancy Hilding.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, go ahead whenever you're ready, Nancy.
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead whenever you're ready.
You can barely hear you. Will you please let me know when I'm at 2 minutes?
I will, yes.
I'm trying to find what it is in my notes. Okay, I want to very quickly announce that we're having Endangered Species Day celebration. Endangered Species Day is the third Friday in May. It will be by Zoom from 6 to 9, and we have 3 excellent speakers. And you can find out about it on our webpage, our calendar page, and our Facebook page. Okay, so I would like to comment that there are lost letters that I sent in, 2 letters that between 11 and 12 on Sunday night, your Mountain Time, that did not show up. And Mary Zimmerman said she attached a letter. Her email is, her little short thing is there, but there's no letter from Mary attached. So I think that you lost some of the letters, and if what you did was use a cutoff of Central Time instead of Mountain Time, you're violating statute, because when you have your meeting in Mountain Time, the cutoff is Mountain Time, not Central Time. So I had several letters that did not show up in the comments. You're mentioning the deadline for some of those finalization proposals is now going to be June 5th and 6th instead of July 10th and 11th. Normally you give us 60 days, so what the hell is going on with that? Okay, now I'm moving on to river otters. We want to reintroduce river otters into West River. That is not part of your action plan. And we want habitat improvements along the, you know, between the Missouri River and through the sort of dead zone where it's not the greatest habitat and the water's not that greatest. We want habitat improvements along the rivers that so that if the otters have to reintroduce themselves, they have better habitat to walk through, swim through. Okay, in the 2024 otter plan, you say you can't do it because you can't afford it. Now, 15 years ago in New Mexico, they had reintroduced 33 otters for $1,000 a piece. And you guys, that's all of the cost of doing an otter. And you guys now spend $500,000 or more a year on the ridiculous, ineffective nest predator bounty program, but you can't afford something like $30,000 to reintroduce otters. We want otters reintroduced. It's very important to us. And the best one that Malquist in 2015 identified was the little white, where you do not introduce trout. So if you're worried about otter eating all the trout, there aren't any trout introduced into the little white. But you, in your plan, not your action plan, but your plan in the fall, you said you couldn't do it because Malquist in 2015 thought there weren't enough otters to support a reintroduction, but you have an otter plan season going up from 20 to 30.
3 minutes, Nancy.
And, We discussed this in the letter that you didn't put up there on the webpage and the comic books. But if you go to our petition, you'll see I put some charts in the petition. You're supposed to be monitoring and supposed to be following the data. How am I for time?
You are past 3 minutes.
Oh, okay. Well, your monitoring data shows the otters going down, but yet you are increasing the otter take.
Okay, we'll next hear from Julie Anderson.
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead whenever you're ready.
Okay. My name is Julie Anderson. and I'm asking the commission to vote for the Prairie Hills Audubon Society's petition for a beaver management plan to include a three-year moratorium on trapping in the Black Hills. This petition was carefully crafted using science that will maintain and allow this engineering marvel of nature to thrive and benefit the ecosystem as well. Your vote to pass this petition would be a win for everyone, and I ask that you please vote yes. Also, I did want to mention that during the presentation today, that the goal of the Beaver Action Plan was to open up beaver trapping as a recreational opportunity once the population increases. Any participant in this recreational opportunity of beaver trapping should be made aware of how incredibly cruel and painful it is to trap a beaver underwater where it drowns slowly in pain, desperately trying to escape. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll next hear from Cliff Stone.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
My name is Cliff Stone. Are we good?
Yes, go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, members of the Game, Fish, and Parks Commission, Secretary Roebling. My name is Cliff Stone. A little bit about myself. I worked for Game, Fish, and Parks for about 36 years. The first 20 years as the Lake Francis Case Fisheries Biologist. I hold a bachelor's degree and master's degree in fisheries from South Dakota State University, and during much of my work time was certified as a professional fisheries scientist from the American Fishery Society. One of the first fisheries regulation changes that I helped move through the commission process was the fishing closure of the area locally known here in Chamberlain as the dredge hole. The dredge hole, a deep water area, in most winters attracted and held many, mostly smaller walleye, and a very intense fishery developed each year, late fall, early winter, by either boat or through the ice, depending on weather conditions. Large numbers of small walleye, 8 to 10 inches long, were caught and released, many not surviving because of the depths at which they were caught. The anglers who fished this area developed concerns over the waste and overall impact of the Lake Francis Case walleye fishery. In my career as the Lake Francis Case fisheries biologist, this was one of the only regulations that I was involved with that came from and was supported by the anglers who were actually participating in this fishery. What made the regulation unique, successful, and relatively easy to enforce is the well-defined location where it occurred, between the I-90 causeway and the railroad bridge. There was a modification made several years later after the implementation to allow shore fishing on the rural county side of this area where the water is not as deep. What is most important to understand is that this regulation is not a standalone regulation, but an important part of the overall package of regulations that manage the Lake Francis Case walleye fishery. Other regulations in this package include the daily limit and the partial year minimum lake limit. With a few modifications over the years, this regulation package has stood the test of time, successfully managing this fishery for over 30 years, despite significant advancement in fishing knowledge and technology, especially in the electronics. If I could leave you with a little analogy, you think of the Lake Francis Case walleye regulation package as a three-legged stool, with the daily limit being one of the legs, the partial year minimum length limit being the second, and the dredge hole closure being the third. While admittedly the dredge hole closure may be a small piece of the regulation package.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Even if you cut off an inch or so, the stool becomes unstable and wobbly. I encourage you to reject this proposal and not begin the breakdown of a very successful Lake Francis Case walleye regulation package. Thank you for your time.
Is Todd Craig present? Todd Craig? Can you hear us, Todd? Todd, we'll come back to you here. Are you there, Todd?
Yes, I am. How are you doing today?
Well, go ahead whenever you're ready.
All right. Hey, I was just going to talk about the upcoming...
Please stating your name, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes, start by stating your name.
Okay. Oh, okay. This is Todd Craig here from Rapid City, South Dakota. I was just going to speak about the upcoming proposal for deer units anyway. I heard that there is a depletion of deer over in the southeast corner, so I wanted to just state that I'd like to have tags reduced over there, which I think is already in the works, so hopefully that goes through. And then also, anything with the antelope, I'd like to make sure that we monitor our tags. Anything that's a low objective levels in those units to make sure that tags are reduced over there too. So those were just some concerns of mine, and thank you for your time.
Thank you. We'll hear next from Bill Young.
Thank you. Thank you all for being here. I'm happy to see you all in the Black Hills. I represent a number of organizations.
Sir,
but today,
could you start with your name, please?
Oh, I'm sorry. Bill Young. At the end of the meeting, we'll determine if we're friends or not. And if we are, then you can call me BY. So I represent a number of organizations. The first thing I'd like to mention to you all is I'm the Habitat Chair for Pheasants Forever Black Hills Chapter. At Pheasant Fest, we were one of five organizations to win a National Habitat Award here in the Black Hills for the work we're doing. Today, I want to talk to you about the work we're doing with beavers here in the hills, particularly a project up on Silver Creek. We've been working with the Game, Fish, and Parks. We've been working with U.S. Fish. We've been working with National Forest Service, Nature Conservancy, and a number of other partners, including Pheasants Forever, Mule Deer Foundation, Rocky Mountain Elk, turkeys, and a coalition, including, in fact, Prairie Hills Audubon, a really cool coalition of people getting their boots on the ground habitat experience. And I got to tell you, these beaver dam analogs work. We had one of our representatives up there on Friday last, and he saw thousands of northern spotted leopard frogs, which you might know as a indicator species of a healthy habitat. The work is being done. It's good work. Let's continue to support that. And according to the GF&P and the U.S. Forest Service data, looking at the number of flights they flew for the survey, we anticipate there's probably about 60 beavers in the Black Hills right now, according to the data presented. If we had 60 elk in the Black Hills, we would shut that season down. I think it's going to take at least 3 years of continued habitat. I support a moratorium on the trapping of beavers for at least 3 years. So I'd like to see the Game, Fish, and Parks use the best data available and stretch that moratorium out. One last note. We've got two ways you can get in touch with us if you want to help us with habitat projects. If you're on any social media at all, on Facebook, we're Cleanup Rapid Creek. We do cleanups every single month. Our next one is Saturday. On Instagram, we are Trout Not Trash. You can follow either one of those for more information about the work we're doing. And I would like to personally invite the commission to come up and look at the work we've been doing on Silver Creek and Gimlet Creek to see how cool these beaver dam analogs are. Thank you all.
Okay, we'll next hear from the West Dam Committee, Jim Ashmore and John Stahl.
Thank you. Jim Ashmore and Jonathan Stahl. You can call him Jumbo, both from Custer. Part of the West Dam project. I just wanted really to come here and say thank you to the commission for being a part of our quest to refill West Dam and bring our urban fishery back to Custer and our area. This dam was built in 1942. There is a golf course around it, but that was built much later. For probably 4 to 5 generations, there has been people fishing, recreation, and everything else. In 2012, the dam was compromised. It drained, and for 13 years, no one did anything about it. They tried. It was over-engineered. No one was supporting it. We really couldn't get much community support going. It just felt like it was going nowhere. Fast forward to last year, late November, Mike Tennyson, a prominent member in our community and in the Black Hills, who helped get a nursing home back in our community with just grassroots efforts, came to me in November and said, we're going to start filling West Dam. He and I both drive by that every day on our way to work from our homes. And he put together a commission to start doing this, a committee to start raising funds. Late November, we had a meeting with a short, brief meeting with Commissioner Bees about our looking for a partner of help of some sort to get this fish, this urban fishery back together. That was in November. I believe we started having a conversation with Secretary Roebling, got things going there. We started our campaign. We had, you can see we had things drafted. We've had many things put out, social media, books. We are pounding the pavements for local contributions. Up to this date right now, we have 1.2 from the city of Custer has been committed. $1 million from Mike and Bonnie Tennyson has been committed as a matching fund. $1 for every dollar, up to $1 million. We already in our short period of time, it's only been a couple of months, but we've got about $250,000 already from private people, which means there's $250,000 already in the bank from Mike and Bonnie. We also have commitments from quite a few other people. We figure quite a few hundreds of thousands could be coming in the next month or so to match that. And along with the partnership from all of you and everybody in the Game, Fish, and Parks, from Secretary Roebling and the commissioners and the staff, it's been amazing what's happened. And what's really happened along with your support and partnership in this, it's driven our legitimacy that this is going to get done. We are in phase two. Phase one of the project was to do a channel to redirect French Creek.
3 minutes here.
And then phase two was to remove 86,000 cubic yards of dirt, which we are almost done with. Phase three is now the reconstruction of the dam and working with Game, Fish, and Parks and everything to get fishery habitat and everything in there. It is moving quickly and doing very, very well. Definitely just want to say thank you. We can't thank you all enough for just considering us in the beginning, because we've been looked over by other places. We're now, along with Game, Fish, and Parks help, with some of the guys, have sent us in the direction of federal funding that doesn't work as an issue with Game, Fish, and Parks either.
Jim, we have a quick question for you from Commissioner White.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you, sir. I've been affiliated with some dams that have been compromised like yourself, and in each case FEMA worked with us up to a certain level, and then we had to go from there on to make sure that it didn't hit flood level. Have you visited with FEMA?
Yes. We've done engineering a couple of times. Meetings with FEMA have been multiple, so that the dam is protected. When the dam flooded, it was about 1,200 cubic feet per second it could handle. Right. It now will handle 12,000 cubic feet per second.
Just a question. Thank you.
Yes, thank you for a great question, by the way.
Thank you both for being here. I know if you stick around a little bit, if the commissioners have some questions, we can visit offline.
We'd love to, and thank you for your time.
Welcome. Thank you both.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Or anyone else present here in person who wishes to address the commission?
Hello, Ron Colbeck again, South Dakota Bowowners Association. Wanted to visit with you about the deer license allocations that you're considering at this time as well. Was a little bit confused as to open forum versus whatever. So hopefully you all received the communication from Justin Broughton, our association president, with some recommendations that we came up with. A little bit of history. At our annual banquet in Sioux Falls, we received a presentation from Game, Fish, and Park staff that outlined the situation with the deer population. It was a bit alarming to us we have pockets of really serious population issues due to disease and so forth, but we actually have a situation where every unit of the state now is being managed to increase population. And to me, that's the first time I think that's ever existed that I'm aware of. So it's not just a one location situation like we've dealt with in the past. So that's why we felt we had to come up with some recommendations. Since then, we received a lot of calls from membership and non-members alike asking for help in reducing further the number of licenses than what's proposed. That's where we came up with the recommendations. And I'll just walk through those real quickly. One, to change all O1 tags to buck-only tags in any unit where no enterless tags are being offered. Two, align non-resident tags similar to antelope based on management objectives. If it's restrictive, 2%, moderate, 4%, liberal, 8%. Three, restrict the mentored hunting to units where rifle antlerless tags are being offered, similar to what they do with archery and muzzleloader. One concern there is mentored hunting licenses being unrestricted as far as the number. People could get those tags and still hunt in those units that are dramatically impacted, which we don't really want to see. Eliminate the late antlerless rifle season, eliminating that extra pressure later in the season. Further reduction in tags in the southeast units impacted by EHD, we are in support of that. Obviously, that's case by case in what we're hearing. We've heard from several landowners that are planning on closing their property to hunting entirely for the upcoming season. We also recommended further reduction in archery permits for 35L. That's in Harding County. Currently 401 to resident and 100 non-resident to 375. We also had a recommendation in there for increased funding opportunities. And then lastly, I would just say we talked about some other probably bigger impactful changes, and we did not get consensus with our group to support those at this time. But I would encourage that if further reductions need to happen in coming years, we need to get ahead of that very early on so we can come to some sort of consensus on what that might look like if we're further reducing opportunities.
3.5 minutes. You need to wrap.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else present here in person who wishes to address the commission?
Welcome.
Thank you, Commissioner Secretary. Thank you for your time. My name is Mike Jardine. I live west of Hot Springs. We ranch and a landowner. I'm asking to reduce the any deer tags and the buck only tags and the 27A and the 21, or 27A and 27B, 21A and 21B in the southwest corner due to the mule deer, the lack of the mule deer we have. It's really low. We've been in that substantially increase on your map for about 8 years, and it seems like it's getting worse. So I guess my question is, what do you guys do when it's in that substantially increase the deer population? It seems, I mean, my opinion is there should be no doe hunting with all weapons or seasons at all to increase it, and the buck tags should go up or go down the tags. So we've been in that area on that map for 10 years, and it seems like Game Fish Parks isn't really doing anything but decreasing the tags a little bit. I guess I believe there's three reasons that kind of we've seen on our ranch. CWD and EHD are a problem, but it's a problem it's hard to fix. I think biologists know that. And we've over-harvested them in the last 10 years. We've definitely shot too many does, and I've talked about muleys. We do have whitetails. And then the mountain lions, the southern hills, we just don't shoot them. We don't have the snow. We don't get the boot hunters. We do need to get dogs down there. I'm not a houndsman, but it's just to save the mule deer, because I do think they're causing an impact on them. We had a meeting in Hot Springs with Game Fisher Parks with numerous landowners about 2 months ago. And I just kind of briefly added up. It's about 75,000 acres in that meeting, and every landowner and every rancher in that Fall River in Custer County says the lowest they've ever seen mule deer. It's just that low, and we need to do something else. So at least do it for 2 years. But I guess I'm really asking, in Fall River, you guys are making it a buck only, but decrease that by another 25%. And in Custer County, do another 25% too than what you have, just to get ahead of it, because we got to do more. And when it's in that substantially increase the population, we want to see it increase, and it's basically going down. So, but thank you for your time.
Anyone else present here in person?
Hello. Thank you, Madam Chair, Secretary Roebling. My name is Eric Sharp. I'm the Chief Development Officer for the Mule Deer Foundation. I'm here to present a proposal for two statewide mule deer or any deer tags. These funds would generate a substantial amount of money that would go directly back to habitat. Our objective here is to create habitat within the state. As the previous person was speaking, talked about the mule deer and our reduction in mule deer habitat around the state. It's our duty and our job to give back, and this is a way that we feel we could get with the public and do that. In the past year, Mule Deer Foundation has had 15 projects throughout the state, contributed $25,000 to the new range, nearly $500,000 in habitat projects, working with other NGOs across the state, including BDAs, riparian areas, fencing, guzzlers, cheatgrass reduction, and red cedar. A similar project we proposed in Utah a few years back with these two tags. This year, those two tags generated $380,000 and $360,000 respectively. So it's not a small amount of money that we're talking about generating for the state. This money would be, 80% of the net proceeds would be dedicated directly to on-the-ground conservation projects to be selected by the South Dakota Game, Fish, and Parks and MDF for lands that are open to public use and hunting. The tag structure would allow for two different tags, one for a online raffle that everybody could be involved in, a $10 to $20 raffle similar to the project that you do with your tags, and then the other tag would be allocated to the expo in Salt Lake City. That expo is held every year in February. This year, that expo raised $16 million for habitat just on tag allocations, and those funds went directly back to the states. The conservation impact that I see across the state not only benefits mule deer, but being that they are a keystone species, would impact antelope, sharptails, sage grouse, elk. The habitat that mule deer live in is impacted through for all animals throughout the state. So this is not just a single species impact. This is something that you've been doing for a few years with elk and sheep, and you've seen the money come back into the state on some of those projects as well, on some of those applications. We have applied for both the elk and sheep tags the past 2 years and the turkey tags, which I'm happy to say we were awarded this year, the two youth turkey tags, and we were able to get a couple of young boys from the Boys and Girls Club who passed the hunting course this year, and they'll be going out next weekend on a hunt with a guide that is completely donated, and we'd be happy to share those pictures with you as well.
Barry, you've reached your 3 minutes.
I'm going to leave it there. Everybody has a hard copy. I'd love to keep this open conversation going for another time. Thank you.
Is there anyone else present here who wishes to address the commission?
Good afternoon. Thanks for letting me speak. My name is Jeff Anderson. I'm from Rapid City, member of the Isaac Walton League chapter there in Rapid City. I'm here to show my support for the moratorium on beaver hunting and trapping in the Black Hills Fire Protection District. The one thing I would like to see is that moratorium be for 3 years. That would allow the beaver time to recover. If you really only have 60 beaver right now in the Black Hills, 3 years would be a lot better time frame than just 1 year. I was very pleased to see the management plan you guys proposed today. That's great, because then you can use data to guide your decisions on hunting and trapping in the future. The other thing I was glad to see was prioritize non-lethal means to get rid of problem beavers. There's plenty of places they can be trapped and reintroduced. The other thing I'd like to see or looked at in the future would be limiting the season in the West River District to 5 months beaver trapping instead of 12. I think that would relieve some stress and pressure on that population also. So thank you for your time.
Is there anyone else present here in person who wishes to address the commission? Seeing no one, is there anyone present online who wishes to address the commission? If so, please raise your hand. Seeing no one, Madam Chair, I hand it back over to you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Michelson.